Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm Reverend Brian Wilkie, and I'm happy to be addressing you again today. Before we begin this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the upcoming event for Good News Christian Ministries. Come and join us for a special evening of the spoken word and music on May 5th at 7 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church. You'll find Bethany Baptist Church at 382 Centerpoint Drive, Ottawa. Special music will be provided by the singing group Destiny, and members of our preaching team will speak. And you can join us afterwards for refreshments. I also want to remind you again that our website has a series of new devotions written by our founding preacher, the Reverend Dr. Alan Churchill. As we consider God's Word today, the theme I want to speak on is No Other Jesus, No Other Gospel, No Other Spirit. And so I'll be reflecting on these words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote them in his second letter to the Corinthians, from chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. In this particular passage, Paul has been defending his ministry to the Corinthians because he's found them to be some of the people to be talking against him and trying to accept other approaches to the Scriptures. And here's what Paul has to say. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness. But you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion of Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the one that we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think that I am in the least inferior to these super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. This is Paul's response to other teachers teaching other messages, and his warning to the Corinthians. Well, as we think about this and the message that has been given to us in Jesus and by Jesus, about Jesus and for Jesus, here's a song that sums up so much of what we have gained pure and unadulterated through God, a song which says, "This is love," sung by GLAAD.
And this is love, not that I have first loved you. And this is love, that you have first loved me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. And this is love, that you have first loved me. Did not wait for me to make myself unworthy. You did not wait for me to make a good and righteous stand. For there was nothing I could do in sin I had done. Your love side. And this is love, not that I have first loved you. And this is love, that you have first loved me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. And this is love, that you have first loved me.
Sometimes we feel like we're in a whole new era, that the world is getting confusing and strange. We hear a whole bunch of voices speaking about different opinions of Jesus, different ideas of the gospel, and different manifestations or doctrines about the Spirit of God. It's a confusing time, to be sure. We are deluged by information coming from the news and from television shows, opinions expressed on the internet, and in our churches and in our homes and even on the radio. We hear so many different opinions, and sometimes we do have trouble making sense out of it. It might be encouraging to realize that that's exactly the situation that Paul is addressing when he speaks to the Corinthians. You see, the Corinthians were not getting television reports or internet bulletins, but they were getting other people who were coming and trying to present a different gospel, a different Jesus, and present a different spirit than what Paul had given them, had presented to them. It was confusing for them, I'm sure, to have people come from Jerusalem, where it all happened, and give contradictory interpretations of the events. People who told them that even though Paul said that they didn't need to become Jewish in all their practices, they really needed to take on some of the most burdensome parts of Hebrew practice. They were sometimes feeling that these preachers were superior to Paul, because isn't God a holy God? Isn't God a demanding God? And isn't the person who makes the heaviest demands the most truthful speaker? Sometimes we can think that way. Sometimes we can think that if it isn't hard, it can't be from God. But Paul was giving a pure and undiluted gospel with the right measure of sternness and the right measure of grace and liberty. And he told them over and over again that it was by grace that they were saved. It was God's goodness working in them and bringing about a faith and a trust in God, rather than a faith and a trust in their own behavior. Paul also instructed them on how to live in the love of God, rather than living in the selfishness and sin of their previous life. But these other teachers came along and offered different versions of events. Life can be confusing. And once again, I'm encouraged by the fact that the Corinthians clearly listened to Paul's message. They preserved his letter. They recognized it as the honest truth coming from God himself, as they read Paul's rebuke and correction, and they received it, and the community that passed on the gospel to us was the community that remembered what Paul had spoken as the revelation of God. It's just good to know that the Word of God does persevere in the midst of confusing times. It's good to know that the Word of God continues, and it will continue to the next generation. It will continue in our lives as we continue to devote ourselves to Him. So Paul spoke about how ready the Corinthians were to tolerate these other viewpoints. And it's understandable that they were. We all want to learn, and we don't want to close our ears to a message before we've really had a chance to evaluate it. But Paul cautions them that they might be allowing people who have proven themselves to be false to continue to bear their influence on them. And if one subjects oneself to a liar and continually hears the repetition of that lie, it's not long before that lie becomes acceptable. I don't think Paul is telling people not to entertain any other speakers. There were other true apostles that would come along, and you can hardly know a true apostle from a false one until you've heard them out. But there comes a point where we have to decide whether the message we're hearing is consistent with what Jesus Christ himself taught. There comes a time when we have to say, I'm going to devote myself to the truth and not entertain myself with fiction. So we today have the same problem the Corinthians did, and Paul offers us the same solution: to look very closely at the qualifications of the gospel and the messengers of the gospel. Throughout the letter of the Corinthians, Paul does what he calls boasting, but he's actually kind of working backwards. He talks about not about how powerful and strong he is, but how weak he is, and how in his weakness God has done great things. He doesn't talk about how successful he's been with the gospel, but he talks about how much he's suffered for the gospel. He doesn't talk about the things that the world values, about eloquent speech and powerful illustrations. He talks about the power of the Holy Spirit working in signs and wonders in his own life. I found it, as I read this letter to the Corinthians, so encouraging that Paul was able to write to the Corinthians and say, you saw it. You saw how the marks of the apostle were in my life, that there were signs and wonders and miracles in your midst. It'd be very hard for Paul to write that to the Corinthians, and very unlikely for the Corinthians to hold on to that letter if that claim of Paul's was false. Paul says, it's good to note that the message of the cross is a true message, but it doesn't sound like wisdom. It sounds like foolishness. The message of salvation through grace doesn't sound like what we expected, but it is the truth of God. And knowing the weakness of our own wisdom, God accompanied the wisdom of his word with the demonstration of his power in the life of Jesus Christ and in the works of those who carried his message into the world. Even today, we still see evidence of God healing people in prayer and God working marvelously in the world to confirm the message as it goes out into the world. It's not just a question of intellectual and academic debate. It's a question of drawing near to God. And that is our task as we consider our duty to hold on to the one gospel, the one Lord, and the one Spirit. Before we continue, let's listen to a song that teaches us the message of the gospel in an old hymn, There is a Green Hill Far Away. This is from an album called A Celebration of Hymns.
Thank you.
When Paul spoke of the unity of the gospel, the singularity of the gospel, he spoke about it in three aspects. He said that people are coming to the Corinthians that are preaching a different Jesus than the one that Paul preached. Now, I wish I had found for this program a song that was recorded, oh, probably 40 years ago now, by Larry Norman, called The Outlaw. And it begins by verse, talking about different people's perspectives on Jesus, beginning with some say he was an outlaw, that he roamed across the land with a band of unschooled ruffians and a few old fishermen. No one knew just where he came from or exactly what he'd done, but they said he must be something bad that kept him on the run. So there's one perspective on Jesus. The song goes on to talk about other people looking at his miracles and seeing him as a magician. There's one verse that says, some say a politician who spoke of being free. He was followed by the masses on the shores of Galilee. He spoke out against oppression and bowed to no decree, and they feared his strength and power, so they nailed him to a tree. Larry Norman concludes the song after taking a look at all these other perspectives on Jesus, and he says, some say he was the Son of God, a man above all men, that he came to be a servant and to save the world from sin. And that's who I believe it is, because that's who I believe. Larry Norman says so much of what I want to say in this message, that there are many perspectives on Jesus, and especially in the modern world, as people often deny the existence of any God and just want to reduce Jesus to a human revolutionary, or a human moral teacher, or even, perhaps, some kind of outlaw. But Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and Jesus demonstrated that he was the Son of God in all that he did. He said, if you don't believe me because of the words I speak, which are the words that come from my Father, take a look at the works that I do. Jesus is testified about not just in his wisdom, but in the power of the Father working through him. And so we need to understand that this is the Jesus that came for us, came from heaven, and was born for our sakes. Jesus who is fully God and fully man. Jesus who is Savior, not just helper, although he is a helper, he's a Savior. Not just giving us advice, but lifting us up out of our sin. Not just teaching us a new way to live, but giving us a new life. This is the Jesus that Paul preached. This is the Jesus that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John testified to in their accounts of the life of Jesus. This is the Jesus that still lives today and is with us always. There's only one Jesus. And we can find this one Jesus in the words of Scriptures, because God has arranged that the testimony about him should be sufficient, that we should find the one who spoke the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings that are found in all four of the Gospels, and the various teachings that are found only in one or two of them. The teachings that are echoed in the teachings of Paul and the writings of Peter and James and John and Luke. These are the true testimony to Jesus Christ. And though sometimes this Jesus might not be the one we wanted him to be, he might say things that we wished he didn't say, give commands that we hoped he would loose instead of tighten, or, in fact, give freedoms that we hoped he would restrict. This is the Jesus that is Lord, the Jesus to whom we must say yes. Likewise, there is only one gospel. It's a gospel of salvation by faith, a salvation in which the grace of God gives people a trust in Jesus, and it's through that trust in Jesus that they can be confident of eternal life. Some people wanted the Corinthians to put their trust in the works they did, in the rituals of Judaism, or in the good works of generosity and so on. We're called to generosity. We're called to the good works that God has prepared for us. But Paul and Jesus tell us that it's by the righteousness that he gives that we are saved. Have you been worried that you haven't been good enough? Have you been worried that your faith isn't strong enough? Jesus didn't commend people on the strength of their faith when they came to him for healing. He commended them on the fact that their faith brought them to Jesus. When the man was brought to him by four of his friends, he was a paralytic and hadn't moved an inch himself. But when Jesus saw the faith of his friends, he said to him, "Your sins are forgiven." Why was that faith sufficient? It was a faith that came to Jesus Christ. Faith in the book of Hebrews is said to be quite a small thing. Jesus himself described it as faith like a mustard seed was good enough. And in the book of Hebrews, he says, the author of the book of Hebrews says that if we have faith, it means that we believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith that is enough simply to turn to God and ask is the faith that Jesus requires of us and the faith that Jesus gives to us. That faith will grow into obedience and into joy and into love. It'll grow and drive out all sin and uncleanliness, but it's that faith which is the gospel, not a gospel of works. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is one Spirit, the Holy One. Scripture speaks of different spirits in the world and the spirit of a man. But God tells us to turn to him for the Holy Spirit, to receive power from on high in order to live as he would have us live and do the works that he would have us do. There is one gospel, and God calls us to follow it. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, thank you for one gospel, for one way, one perfect way by which all might be saved. Help us to turn to you and to trust in the word you've given and the spirit that you offer to us. Fill us, Lord, and lead us, Lord, in your one gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program, and don't forget to visit our website. You will find several of our programs available on podcasts. As I said earlier, look on our website for a new series of devotions written by our founding preacher, the Reverend Dr. Alan Churchill. And don't forget about the special evening of the spoken word and music on May 5th at 7 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church at 382 Center Point Drive. This is in Ottawa. Special music will be provided by the singing group Destiny, and members of our preaching team will be speaking, so please join us, and join us for refreshments afterwards as well. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Just as last week, I want to conclude our program with a song that is very special to me. It's a song sung by Stephen Cowley, recorded just last year, but it's a song that he was singing back when I was first discovering the joy of Jesus Christ, and Stephen had a tremendous impact on bringing me to salvation in him. And this is a song that he sang about the stubbornness that we sometimes have about not wanting to accept the revelation that God gives in Jesus. This song is called "We Would Not Believe" from Stephen's album Dross to Gold. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Is produced in the studios of News Talk.